Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Thinking about a new vehicle? Trust the team that's been taking care of customers for 70 years. The Cannon family has helped thousands drive home happy. Come take a test drive today and see why. And remember, when the smoke clears, nobody beats a Cannon deal. Nobody.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here after a weekend where you saw football get yet another four-star commitment and baseball blow an opportunity to get a huge series win on the road in Arkansas. Obviously, had the lead in the ninth, couldn't hold it, get walked off, and now the hosting conversation is a little bit different. We're going to go through that a little bit. So I will look at the D1 regional projections going into the weekend and then how the teams around Ole Miss fared to kind of give you a gauge of maybe what this series meant to Ole Miss and what not capitalizing on this series meant to Ole Miss. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate you doing that. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They have everything. I mean, it's a huge roof. And so when you say everything you need under one roof, it is a true thing. Anything for your farm, if you got some farmland or hunting land, just for your yard, for your garden. The cheapest beer in town. The boot selection is outstanding. The fishing aisles have everything you need, literally all right there. Home furnishings, appliances, and also what you need for your farm, for your lawn, for your commercial mowers. 0%, 36 months on commercial mowers, 1.9% on the Gator, 0% for 72 months on the big stuff, the compact tractors and things like that. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, Mississippi. It's worth the trip, especially if you're somebody that likes to spend time on their property or on the farm or a commercial mower as well. So check them out. John Deere at 0%. You can't beat 0%. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, just outside of Tupelo. There's good news, bad news, and I know baseball, I can see the comments already, is going to dominate the conversation. So here's just like a palate cleanser for you, just to start. There's not much to this other than it happened, but here's a palate cleanser for you, just to ease you into the podcast to discuss baseball blowing an opportunity. Pete Golding and Ole Miss got another commitment in their recruiting class of the four-star variety. Taylen Mayo's his name. He's from McKinney, Texas. He's a 6'4 defensive back. Just a few months ago, did not even make, I guess, his final five or final six did Ole Miss, but they obviously were able to make up ground and get his commitment. 264 nationally is where he's ranked. He's a four-star, and he is the fifth four-star in the class for Ole Miss, with a blue-chip ratio being five out of the eight in the class are currently blue chip prospects. As you guys know, no national champion except for Indiana, I believe, has had a national championship without a blue chip ratio over 50%. And Indiana is quite the anomaly for a lot of reasons. So again, I'm not going to sit here and try to break down a high school recruit and pretend like I'd, know his game and we'll do comps or anything. That's for the recruiting people to do, not me. But big picture, this high school recruiting class is shaping up so nicely, and they're not anywhere close to done at all with not only, adding players, of course, because there's only eight, but they are in on so many blue chip prospects. The quarterback in the class is taking it upon himself to do a ton of recruiting. He's also got a running back that plays with him that is of very important nature. So it's May now. There's a long way to go, and it is the portal era, but this recruiting class for Ole Miss is just shaping up so nicely right now, and there's yet another four-star in the boat. They have not, everything can change if football season does not go well, right? wins on the field matter most. And if they go 6-6 or whatever, all this momentum goes away. But as I say all the time, it still continues to impress that even through a coaching change, Ole Miss has not lost and did not lose their cachet with portal players, clearly, with the portal class that they signed. Very good one. Obviously, the player retention piece as well. But now they're building an excellent recruiting class on top of that. And this is just another example of that. So the momentum has continued after a playoff run, despite a coaching change. It's a big deal. Got to go make it count. But that really is a big deal. But you guys, I think, are here mostly for baseball. So we'll do that after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. 601-823-3500 for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business anywhere in Mississippi. Award-winning services from Logan Smith, and he'll customize things for you. Give him a call. Even if you have insurance, it's worth a phone call, right? Get a quote, get great service. You'll probably want to switch the way I did. Logan Smith Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500. And don't forget to tell everybody that partners right here on this podcast that it was me that sent you. All right, baseball loses 2 of 3 to Arkansas. They get run ruled on Friday night. A very uncompetitive run ruling. I mean, none of them are, but it was especially brutal to watch. Bounce back beautifully on game two. They got a great outing from Cade Townsend and settled things in. They go to Calhoun despite the score being what it was, and that maybe has come back to bite Ole Miss, and they go to Hooks also despite the score being what it was and also possibly came back to bite Ole Miss. Rabe gives them a good start today. Offense didn't show up for Ole Miss. They did have 7 hits, but they only scored 4 runs today, 3 of which were in the second off of a Pano home run. And then Unimark had that solo home run to give them the lead in the 8th, but Ole Miss could not hold on as Walker Hooks came in. And you could hear Chris Burke on the broadcast, I mean, like 2 pitches before the walk-off home run, say that he looks gassed and that his stuff doesn't have the same bite that it did in the previous inning, and that he pitched the day before and he looks tired. And then I think it was like 2 pitches later is when the walk-off home run happened, and Ole Miss had a huge, huge, huge opportunity that they have completely – they just squandered this weekend. There's no other way to put it. Winning this series would have had them firmly on the right side of the hosting bubble with a couple of series left, not needing to do anything insane against 2 good teams in A&M and Alabama. And instead, I mean, there's still a path, and we'll get to that in a second. I still think 16 is the magic number, as does everybody else. So you win these next 2 series and you're probably hosting. But this was the worst team of the 3 remaining, and the way in which they lost is kind of devastating. The offense disappearing for 2 of the 3 games and squandering a 9th-inning lead. I think that's for the second time in conference play this season they've done that. And so now here they sit. But I know a lot of your comments are going to be about pitching decisions, and we'll get to those. To me, though, a bigger problem than going back to Hooks or going to him in game 2 or going back to him in game 3 or leaving him in too long, I think the bigger issue for this team right now is that their veteran ace is not giving them anything on Friday nights. I mean, he only goes 3 complete, gave up 6 runs, walked 3. His command was off. Again, he has not gotten off to good starts in his starts, if that makes sense. I mean, he's really having a hard time getting out of the gate. And that just sets the tone for the weekend. I'm surprised that you didn't see Waters again. Somebody smarter than me or would have more knowledge than me can maybe answer why Waters was not available, especially in game 2 after pitching and pitching well on Friday night. I don't know, but it doesn't matter what you do in the 8th and 9th inning on Sunday if you can't get your veteran ace to get you at least into the 6th on Friday nights. And he has not been able to do that lately. Here, I'll pull up his most recent starts. And you know it's in there. I mean, he's shown it at times this year, but the consistency has been a real issue. Okay, so the last few weeks, did six complete at Tennessee, but even still in the LSU and the Tennessee series, but I'll start with Florida to kind of belabor the point, I guess. Four complete at Florida, had a really high pitch count. Again, did not start the game well, only did give up two runs in that, but again, only four complete, 102 pitches. LSU series settled in, pitched really nicely that day, but gave up that two-run home run early. Six complete, though, two runs. Tennessee, six complete, three runs, two good quality starts. But Georgia, 3 2/3, eight runs. Arkansas, three complete, six runs on just five hits. So in three of his last five outings, he has not gotten an out in the fifth. I mean, that's a bigger problem than how they manage the back end of the bullpen in game three, is they're not getting the starts that they need to get from Hunter Elliott in order to win series like this. And I don't know what you do. I mean, there's only 2 weeks left in the season. I mean, you don't take him out of the rotation. I mean, do you shuffle the rotation in May again? I don't know. I mean, I'm not the multi-million dollar coach that's actually making the decisions, but I do think at this point you've got to wonder if Hunter Elliott would be better served in the third game of a series as opposed to the first game of a series. I don't know. But that to me is a bigger problem. And don't get me wrong, you know, what happened today is a problem. Going to your two best relievers in a game that you're comfortably winning is also a problem. Calhoun makes more sense than Hooks, I think, in game two, but you're not winning anything of value if Hunter Elliott's giving you this. You're not. So, yeah, that's tough. We'll read your comments, but I do want to do the regional projection thing. Ole Miss currently number 13 in the RPI. So again, they're okay. They're okay right now, RPI-wise. Their strength of schedule is four. Memphis must have done some winning this weekend because Ole Miss is back to not having a single quad three or quad four loss. It's a really good thing from a resume perspective. They have 11 quad one wins. Let's see, Georgia Tech, Texas have 13. Auburn has 11. Alabama has one more with 12. Texas A&M has 12. Florida has 15. And that's it from a more quad one wins perspective. So that's okay for Ole Miss. But looking at the regional projections from last week, Ole Miss was at number 11 according to D1. So let's look at the teams around them and what they did. So Oregon State was at 9. Oregon State this weekend went 3-2. They split a midweek series with Texas Rio Grande Valley, and then they won the series against Cal State Northridge. So I don't know if that helps Oregon State that much, but they are, you know, still going to be ahead of Ole Miss in that. Coastal Carolina was number 10. They went 3-1 this week. They won a midweek game against North Carolina at North Carolina and won the series against Georgia Southern. They are obviously going to stay ahead of Ole Miss regardless. Ole Miss at 11. Behind them, Nebraska at 12. This helps Ole Miss some. Nebraska had a really crappy week. They went 1-3. They got swept by Ohio State and beat Kansas State in a midweek game. So they should fall wherever Ole Miss falls as well. Mississippi State was at 13. Again, obviously behind Ole Miss. They lost the Texas series, but they did go 2-2 because they beat Ole Miss in the midweek in the Governor's Cup. May that game never happen again. Florida was 14. Florida right now in the RPI as well is ahead of Ole Miss, but Florida this weekend won the Oklahoma series. So they went to Oklahoma and won that series. They went 2-1 on the week. Florida State at number 15. Florida State this week went 4-0. They swept Pittsburgh and beat South Florida. So Florida State was behind Ole Miss, but they had a week in which they swept. Southern Miss got beat in the midweek. They were at number 16, but they swept on the weekend. Looking at teams that were just on the outside of hosting, Alabama they had at number 17. Alabama this week went 3-0. They swept Vanderbilt. So there's a real chance that Alabama's jumping ahead of Ole Miss in these projections as well. Let's see if I can find number 18 quickly. Number 18 was Oregon in these regional projections, and Oregon this week went 3-1. They won the series at Washington and beat Gonzaga in the midweek. So there's another candidate to possibly jump Ole Miss. Oklahoma was 19. They lost their series this week. So that's a good thing. And I'll do one more. West Virginia was 20, and they swept Kansas State this weekend. So the teams behind and around Ole Miss had good weeks. And so on top of not taking advantage of this opportunity, you have teams behind you that had good weeks as well. So, I think it's still, like we said a second ago, cut and dry. Win four of your next six in conference, and you're probably hosting. But you squandered this opportunity. Mississippi State took four from you. You didn't win the Governor's Cup. It's unfortunate because it was right there. I mean, it was really right there in front of them, and they could not capitalize. And so now they've got to go win two series against two good teams. We'll see if they can do it. Podcast brought to you in part also by Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day. Local loan servicing and decision-making, 16 locations, so there's probably one very close to you. Great online banking platform. Switch to Priority One Bank and bank with me. It's in the name. It's what they'll make you feel like at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. ABSMS.com is the website. Tell all of them that it was me that sent you. All right, to the comments we go. Where do we even start with this baseball team? Just a massive blown opportunity that puts hosting chances on the fringe. If they don't end up hosting, then today in the Friday night game against State will be tough to swallow for sure. Guess it's just as simple as they don't trust enough bullpen arms. The offense is, as we already know, completely home run reliant, not good enough on either side. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but regression back to the mean has happened with this offense, I think. It's really unfortunate because it felt like they turned a corner, but they are who they are. Very inconsistent, dependent on the long ball, strike out a lot, too much. But your personal opinion is that they host at 15 league wins. RPI and strength of schedule should give them the nod towards hosting. I don't know. It depends on what else happens around them. And, I mean, it is a committee room full of people. You know, I mean, you look at the RPI, and I mean, there's teams behind Ole Miss that are in line to host ahead of them. And I mean, I just wouldn't put it past a committee to not give the SEC extra sights, especially a team that was only 500 in conference. So also can't win a series when Hunter Elliott gets shelled on Friday two times in a row now. It just can't happen, and he knows that, but he has to be better. Seven out of the nine batters are complete liabilities. It feels like that most days. Team just can't make it easy, can they? No, they cannot. Series against A&M is so massive now, it's a must win. It's a must win. I mean, there's no other way around it. They have to win this series. You know, people don't like doing the must win thing, and I get it. This is a must-win series. It is on your home field. It is an A&M team that is, quite frankly, good, but that's life in the SEC. You have to win this series. Unfortunately, they're getting nothing from Bissetta. Utermark and Furness are the guys they have to be good. Yeah, Bissetta in a big slump right now. Pano's been helping. He's been a decent addition to the lineup, but 2 for his last 29 in SEC play. Yeah, it's not going to get it done. Don't understand why they have no trust in Landon Waters. Threw him down huge on Friday and basically burned him. He's a quality arm they just put to the side. But did they burn him? I mean, he threw 27 pitches. That guy couldn't give you the inning in 2/3 that you asked Hooks to give you when you had the big lead. That's what I'm kind of wrestling with is, I mean, and I get the explanation. I think Bianco gave it after the game is just ensure that you win one and deal with tomorrow. I get that to a degree, but it cost you tomorrow when I don't think that Waters would have fared poorly in that spot. Maybe he would have. I don't know. Mike should have pulled Hooks after that first batter in the ninth. You could just tell he didn't have his A stuff at that point. Yeah, Burke called it out. cannot continue forward only trusting two bullpen arms, especially if this offense is not going to stress pitchers and move the baseball. Strike out more than any team you've ever seen. It's too late in the year to change batting approaches. Well, it seems like they've recruited to that as well. So it's not just approach. I think it's also player. But Hook's game two decision didn't get Calhoun, you were okay with. If the Rebs can keep their pitching coach, you know programs are going to come after him. I mean, Ole Miss is a great place to coach baseball. I mean, it's paid a ton. You know, recruiting's really good. But I mean, you know, he has been good, and the pitching staff is good. But there, it's also, you know, it's not perfect. What has happened to Hunter Elliott? Liberatt was a weekend starter to start the season, and he's unplayable right now. How did that happen? You know, what went wrong there? Who's making the decisions going to Hooks 2 days in a row, leaving him in too long, not having trust in other relievers when you have a bigger lead? You know, there's some questions too. Now, again, he's been a net positive, but, you know, has it been perfect? I don't think that's true either. You know how we say they lose to Mississippi State a lot? That's now seven series losses in a row to Arkansas. Ooh. Think hosting went out the window today. They needed to win that game, and it's frankly inexcusable what happened in game one and three. They will not make it out of a regional like this. Not with the way they hit, though. Still think it's 15 wins. You agree with Chase Parham, Kendall Rogers. I believe the RPI and strength of schedule will clear into hosting at 15 league wins. It'd be great if you were right, but I mean, how much is this past weekend going to punish them? We'll see. Maybe not at all, but they just went 1-3, and everybody behind them but Nebraska produced this weekend. So how much are they going to fall? I don't know. Wasn't an amazing Arkansas team either. They're fine, but Ole Miss should have won that series. I mean, this was the best chance to go up there and win a series in a while, yeah. Really thought that when they got out of the seventh inning without giving up the lead, you thought they were going to win? I thought so too, honestly. Truth is, they're not very good. Strike out way too much, and if they don't hit it over the fence, they don't score. Well, so I'll push back on the just not very good thing. They're good. I just don't think they're great. You know what I mean? There's a lot of holes on that team, but there's a lot of things that is going to scare a one seed if that's how they end up. Elliott's going to be a baseball legend when his career is done at Ole Miss, but he is a huge problem with the team right now. He's their leader, and they have a Thursday series up in 2 weeks. Yeah. Auburn's probably going to be a top eight at this rate. They were a top eight projected last week. They were. Asking this team to go 4-2 against two teams better than Arkansas is probably asking too much. Now, a question after that is, winning a regional, home or road, deemed the bar for success for this team? Well, it depends on who you're asking. I mean, I think getting to a super regional is an acceptable result this season. You don't throw a parade, but I think that's acceptable. You had two pathetic years after winning the national championship. You host a regional last year. It ended poorly, but you go from hosting to getting through a regional to a super regional. I think that's an acceptable result, generally speaking. But if they don't get out of a regional and it's on the road, then the discussion changes a little bit, doesn't it? Friday against A&M is close to a must win for any hosting chances. You lose again on Friday and Elliott isn't good again, you have a serious problem that can bleed into the postseason.
Bissetta can't keep going down looking like that, period. Just swing the damn bat. Yeah. If you tell me now they use Townsend, Calhoun, and Hooks on Saturday against A&M, I'd tell you they'd lose 2 out of 3. It's probably a good way to put it. Is Elliott that much different than last year, except Mason Morris isn't behind him this year? Well, let's see. I don't think he had a year ago as many stinkers like he's had now, but let's look. All right, starting. So he went 4 complete at Tennessee on April 11th. Gave up 3 runs. 5 1/3, 3 runs at South Carolina. 5 complete, 1 run against Vanderbilt. 6 2/3, 2 runs against Oklahoma on the road. 5 2/3 at Mississippi State, 2 runs on the road. 7 complete, no runs against Auburn. 5 1/3, 1 run against Florida. 6 complete, 3 runs against Western Kentucky in the regional. No, this was not. I mean, this was him, I guess, a little early last season because, yeah, you have Wright State in week 3 where 5 complete, but he pitched great that day. But 3 1/3 against Jacksonville State, 5 complete against Arkansas, but they won. 4 2/3 against Missouri, but they won. No, he was just damn good last year. No, it was just, no, just straight up really good a year ago. Pitching decisions today were fine. They didn't have a lot of bullets. J.P. Robertson didn't have anything they needed. Yeah, and that's where the misevaluation of Liberatt comes in. But also, like you said, Waters, what was he not available? Why don't you trust him? Think to you, they have to win a regional. It'd be cool. Anything less than that is a disappointment. I agree. Especially after Missouri State. You're exactly right. If it wasn't Missouri State that knocked, not Missouri State, Murray State that knocked him out last season, you could look at the regional a little bit differently. But, I mean, they got back to the postseason they hosted a year ago after the 2 disaster seasons. But that was, I mean, like kissing your cousin, right? Like, it didn't feel good. Thought the commentary team today was onto something. Borky, how likely is it if the MLB has a long-term walkout, could you see MLB stadiums hosting SEC baseball games to put something on? Yeah, so I actually got a DM about that, and I need to respond to that because it was a good question. We were playing golf in the backyard. If there is a lockout, any kind of lockout. I mean, certain draft-eligible players on the Ole Miss roster, you would think with an NIL deal, would much rather take the guaranteed money in another year of development than test whatever the hell that is, right? And yeah, absolutely. If I operated a major league park, I would try to bring colleges into my park to play games. You got to put something on. I am not as well-read about the impending lockout for Major League Baseball as I probably need to be. But if that does go down, your likelihood of keeping certain players goes way up. That would be devastating for baseball. It's growing again. People are paying attention again. It had a long time where it almost felt irrelevant, and that's changing. Ratings are up. Like, things are going better. It's a really bad time to have a labor dispute. Every day we get further from 2022, they need to meet some sort of expectations, and they still can, but it's not going to be easy like this. You expect Hunter Elliott back at this rate? I mean, there's no way that he gets a great draft look right now. Ole Miss, LSU, and the Astros Stadium would sell tickets? It would, but here's the counterpoint. Why would Baton Rouge or Oxford, like, why would the school want to do that? Because baseball brings people into the town, to campus. Why would you sacrifice that to go play in Houston? That's the only downside, like, counterpoint to that is, yeah, that these major league ballparks could try, but why would the colleges agree to that? I mean, like round robin tournaments and stuff in February, but you're talking about a home conference weekend against a rival? No way. Tom Hart and Chris Burke were annoying you today, didn't commentate on like half the game and rambled on stuff. That is, I like Tom Hart a lot. One of the few TV guys that when you interact with in real life doesn't act like he's better than you, which is so funny, by the way. Some TV guys, I'm not going to name names, they walk around like they're hot shit, forgive my language, and it's like, you're a studio analyst on the SEC network, man. Like, yeah, your career's going better than mine, there's no doubt about that, but you're not special, and you walk around here like you are something special, and it's like, who are you? Where do you get this ego from? Tom Hart's not that guy. Peter Burns is not that guy. I like the two of them a lot. But the way Tom calls games is very much just kind of hanging out a lot. There is a lot of that on his call, and he's not everybody's cup of tea because of that. When the game's not close, there's nobody you'd rather have on a call than Tom Hart. When it's a boring game, when it's not close. But in close games, meaningful games, and they kind of go off the rails a lot, that's tough. So I hear you. I hear you on that. But anyway, I'm going to hold myself to doing a shorter episode. We are going to hang it up tonight, right now. I appreciate you guys always for being here. You guys are the best. And please subscribe and all that good stuff. And I will see you right back here on Tuesday night. See you then. Really appreciate you guys. Have a good rest of your Sunday, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.